This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
You know what I want to share this evening is spirituality. I don't know how many of you feel spiritual tonight. Spirituality. You know, what I did was I went into the internet, into Wikipedia, to find out what the word spirituality really means. So I'm going to look at Wikipedia and then go into God's word also to define spirituality. Okay? Spirituality, in a narrow sense, concerns itself with matters of the spirit. Spiritual matters are those involving humankind's ultimate nature, not only as material biological organism, but as beings with a unique relationship to that which is beyond both time and material world. And so what they're saying here is that you have human beings who do not only relate to the material world, to the things of the world, but also want to have a connection with a being higher than themselves. Amen. With a being higher than themselves. Okay? He says it's a perceived sense of connection forms a central defining characteristic of spirituality, which is a connection to metaphysical reality greater than oneself, which include an emotional experience of religious awe and reverence or such states. He says, equally, spirituality relates to matters of sanity and psychological health. Spirituality may involve perceiving or wishing to perceive life as more important, higher, more complex, or more integrated with one's worldview as contrasted with merely sensual. So, when you look at it here, you have so many people out there who really want to connect and link and relate to the spiritual realm. But you know what? It is natural. Do you know why it's natural? Because we've been created in God's image. Amen. We've been created in God's image. So when there was a fall, right, there's still that innate nature in man to want to connect to the higher beings. Amen. So when we look at Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, and the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Okay? You know, the Bible tells us that God is a spirit. Isn't that so? And so when God was breathing into man, God was breathing himself into man. So, in short, man is a spirit being. Did you realize that? And as we go along, you find out that man has three stages or three parts of him, which is the body, the soul, and the spirit. Amen. So in God breathing into man, God breathed that which is referred to as ruach, which is wind, air. Amen. Into man, which brings about that part of man which is spiritual. Amen. And so when man sinned against God, you know that the Bible says, if man eats that apple, that fruit, man will die. But God was talking about the spiritual death. Amen. The spiritual death that cut man completely away from that constant communication with God. Okay? And so what's happened is after the death, spiritual death, man is still wanting to connect with the spiritual realm. Amen. So there is still that desire for man to connect with the spiritual realm. A quote here, it says, in recent years, spirituality in religion often carries connotations of a believer having faith, a faith more personal, less dogmatic, more open to new ideas and myriad influences, and more pluralistic than the doctrinal dogmatic faiths of mature religions. So what is he saying here? He's saying that as time has gone by, there is more and more of man wanting to connect to something that strengthens their faith. Amen? And so, we go into the Word of God in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 2. This is one of my favorite scriptures, 2 Corinthians 2. I'm going to break that down for you later, but let's quickly look at 2 Corinthians 2. Praise Jesus. Did I say 2 Corinthians?
Yes.
Forgive me, it's 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. And we take it from verse 9. It says, but as it is written, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God had revealed them unto us by what? His Spirit. Amen? That's the first thing you need to note there. That God communicates with man through his Spirit. Amen? Not the flesh. Not the soul. It's with the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. Which Spirit is searching all things? The Spirit of man is also searching. Okay? For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Are you understanding this? That's verse 11. So, you find out that the Spirit of man and the Spirit of God, there's always a connection. Okay? And so what we now have, spirituality that we have now in the world, are people trying as much as possible to connect with something higher than themselves. But for you and I as Christians, it is a connection to God. Amen? Okay, let's go on. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, which means there's a spirit of the world. There's a spirit that is looking for something higher than themselves and not the Spirit of God. But he says, but the Spirit which is of God, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And that's what we want to do tonight. We want to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Okay? We have what we call directed spirituality. Okay? And in directed spirituality, what it means is being spiritual, and the aim is towards improving one's wisdom and willpower. Amen? You have those whose sole aim is to improve their wisdom and willpower. So you see some people, they've learned the art of magic. Okay? You see some people, they've learned the art of being able, I don't know what you call it, to lift things, something kinetic, to lift things without even touching it. Okay? You have that. Because that's their aim. Some is achieving a closer connection to deity or the universe. Okay? Now, you You see, as we go along, we'll come to a point where we'll see what God actually says about these things. Are they right or wrong? Okay? You know, so we should look at 2 Corinthians 4. Second and 1 Corinthians 2. I want to draw something out from there. In 2 Corinthians 2, what we see is that we have two and three kinds of people. And who are these three kinds of people? The three kinds of people we have are those who naturally do not have any knowledge of the spiritual world. It's not that it does not exist, but they do not have any inclination about it. They just move. They just walk by instinct. Okay? They just move. They just walk by instinct. That's how they survive. Okay? They are the non-spiritual, and they're governed by their natural instinct. They do not have the Holy Spirit. They're not passionate about anything spiritual. Okay? Now we have the second set of people. This second set of people are spirituals, the spiritualists. They link themselves with the spiritual, with the spiritual realm, but do not have the Holy Spirit, but are eager to commune and connect with the spirit world. And here you have the occultist. Amen. Okay. And you see, the word occult is actually from the Latin word occultus, referring to that which is inner, secret, mysterious, and beyond range of ordinary human knowledge. Okay? And what do? They manipulate the supernatural. This is false spiritualism. Okay? They manipulate the natural world. Okay? The supernatural world. Do you remember the story of Saul in 1 Samuel 28, 7 to 25? Okay? This is a story of Saul. When he needed more information about the battle, what did he do? He went to the medium of Engedol. Okay? So let's go to 1 Samuel 28, verse 7 to 25. Please, what all I'm doing for today is laying a foundation. Okay? 1 Samuel 28. Now, this was when Samuel was already dead and Saul was desperate to have an answer. And this is where the problem is. You see, when we cannot connect with God, we always look for a substitute. Okay? And in today's world, what is really happening? You're having so many people running from one place to the other. Okay, looking for an answer to their problems. And because they find it difficult to submit themselves to God Almighty, they go to things that they believe are so quick to get. And this is what Saul did. Okay. The Bible says, "Then said Saul," that's verse 7, "to his servant, seek me a woman that had a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her and his servants. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that had a familiar spirit at Engedol." Let me just quickly explain something to you about familiar spirits. Okay, sometimes you can meet someone and they're talking and they say to you, "Oh, this place looks familiar. It's as though I have been here before," and they begin to tell you things about that place. And normally people will say, "Oh, this person has reincarnated." But it isn't, because the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. So they couldn't have been there. But what it is what you refer to as a familiar spirit. Which is, you see, the spirit, right, will always, or demons will always look for a body to dwell in. How do I know that? If you remember the story in, I think in the book of Mark, when Jesus was casting out those demons, what did the demons say? They said, "If you cast us out of him, let us go into the pigs." Right? Because demons will always look for a body to dwell in. So now, familiar spirit, when that person dies, will move out of that person and look for someone else to stay in. Amen? And that's what we're seeing here. Hallelujah. He says, and Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit. Did you hear that word again? By the familiar spirit. And bring me up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul had done. Blah, blah, blah. And then we come to. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. Because this time Samuel did not appear as a familiar spirit. But Samuel spoke through. Samuel came and spoke. And this woman was scared. So what am I trying to do here? I'm trying to show you that there are people, just like we have there, who are so hungry for the spiritual realm, to connect with the spiritual world. Okay? So with these persons, we have this set of spiritual practices. The first one is spiritism. Okay? What is spiritism? Spiritism is making contact with the dead. And that was what you saw the medium of Engedor doing there. Connecting with the dead. Okay? Now, the second one, number two, is fortune telling. And this is used widely, okay, all over the world. And what they do is they use objects as an act to give advice. Let's look at Acts 16. Those of us who come from Nigeria or Africa know that this thing is quite prevalent. You go, they tell you to kill a goat or a ram or something so that they can tell you your... Amen? Pardon me? It's all over the place. But I'm from Africa, so I know more of Africa. Amen. Acts 16. Acts 16. From verse 16. It says, and it came to pass, we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. What was she doing here? She was a fortune teller. Okay? She could tell the fortune. She was able to discern from the spiritual realm that these men were men of God. Amen? And then number three, we have astrology. The ancient method of mapping the celestial events by horoscopes. How many of you wake up in the morning and you say, oh, I need to read my star? You know, it's something when I wasn't a Christian that I used to do a lot. You get what I'm saying? But it was until I became a Christian that I realized that it was wrong. And I was so hooked on it that I can just look at you by the way you're behaving and that, I say, you're Cancerian, you're Capricorn, you're this. And even today, you find a lot of people will say to you, what month were you born? And you say, oh, this month. And they begin to tell you, and then they begin to look at you and say, you must be this, you must be that. Okay? But it's commonly practiced. And that's because people are linking themselves to higher realm to be able to tell you fortune. Do you know, I always ask myself this question. The Daily Star will come up with the horoscope for today. Okay? The Metro will come up with its own. All the papers will come up with their own. But have you all ever noticed that they're all different? Amen. And then you see people who religiously will allow that to dictate their day. You know what I do to some people? I give them the word for today. Because that will speak to them about each day. Amen. In Isaiah 47, 13 to 15. He says, thou art wearied me in the multitude of thy counsel, let now the astrologers and the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators, Father help me, stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them, they shall not deliver themselves from the power of a flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth. They shall wander every one to his quarter, none shall save thee. So what was he talking about? He's talking about these soothsayers, these stargazers, these astrologers. That's Isaiah 47, 13. Okay? God is talking about them, and he's talking about how much he dislikes what they're doing. So it means they did exist during that period. And if you read the book of Daniel, you also find out, Daniel 2, you also find out that Nebuchadnezzar will call all these men around him to tell him to look into the stars and tell him about the future, tell him about his dreams. Okay? Then you also have numerology. These people attach special significance to numbers to analyze character for them to be able to predict the future. Amen. Let's look at Genesis 41, 1 to 36. You see, the Bible speaks about all these things. That's the funny thing. You know, today I was listening to the radio and I heard some guy from LBC tearing the church, the Catholic Church, into pieces, saying they should keep their religion at the door. They shouldn't bring their beliefs into the House of Parliament. They shouldn't bring their, all because they say that they don't want to vote in favor of a embryo. Amen. And it's become a big problem to some people. Hallelujah. But I believe it's time for us Christians to just stand up and talk. But one woman came on the radio and said to the guy, "Say, you know what? I think you have a problem with church." Amen. And the woman said, "You see, until these things explode in our eyes, we will never understand." And I look at it, I look at what the Word of God says, and I see what is happening in our society today. Because all we have done, we have tried to be either emotional or sentimental towards the things that God says shouldn't be. Okay? We look at children, do not discipline children. We have children destroying buses, destroying things, and nobody can say anything. Killing themselves, nobody can say anything. Now they want to breathalyze young ones. Okay? But we've forgotten that it was a government that says they should have 24 hours. That the pub should be open 24 hours. You understand? All the things that we have done in our flesh is causing problems today. Amen? And so it's time for the church to rise up. Hallelujah. So I'm saying that because I want you to know that in the Bible, God speaks so much about all these things that people are supporting today. Genesis 41. It's 1 to 36. It's quite a long one. But it's Pharaoh and his dream. Okay? Pharaoh had a dream, and what did he do? He called different people to come and tell him what his dream was, interpret his dream, and they had to use numbers. Okay? Then you have the palmistry. The palmistry, they interpret the future by analyzing the lines on one's palm. Have you ever been to somewhere and you've met someone say to you, "Oh, let me see your palm," and they want to begin to read your future? Please don't allow it. Amen. Don't allow it. Hallelujah. One of the other ones that is so subtle, but it's very dangerous, is the tarot cards. Okay? They are special occultic symbols to predict the future. Okay? And a lot of, you go to, when you go to some of these fairs, or a lot of gypsies tend to do this, and you go to some fairs and you find out that they do it. It's dangerous because with the tarot cards, what they do, they put it down and then they predict your future. Okay? And this is because a lot of people are linking themselves into the spiritual realm. Okay? Then you have another one, which I've never heard of before, but as I was going through, I saw this. It says it's called automatic writing. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of that. Automatic writing. It says they write in a trance-like state without conscious control. Okay. And that, yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You get me? So, are you getting what I'm saying? You see, we might look at these things as though they are innocent, but they're dangerous. Okay? And that's because in human being, there is that innate nature to link up with the spiritual realm. And that's why the Bible says that they were building the tower of Babel. Why? So that they can reach to God. And so every day of our lives, there are people doing different things to reach out to the supernatural realm. You know why? Most times it's so that they can be in control. Amen. So that they can be in control. Hallelujah. And the truth is that the Bible actually condemns all these practices. Let's look at Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 13. Deuteronomy 18, but you know something that really ministered to me the other day as I was reading the book of Isaiah, and I read Isaiah 14, and I found out that as long as Isaiah 14 was, God, Satan was only mentioned in a little place, and sometimes we tend to magnify him so much. But you look through the Bible, you do not see him being mentioned so many times. You get me? You actually try to find him in the Bible. And sometimes we magnify him so much. Amen? But what you will see in the Bible is God condemning the acts that are associated with him. Amen? Deuteronomy 18, 10 to 13. It says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, that useth divination, an observer of times, or enchanter, or a witch. And this is what the practice called Molech, unto the god of Molech, where the first son will pass through the fire as a sacrifice. Okay. And God is saying we shouldn't do this. And then 11, he says, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or any necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God had not suffered thee to do so. Amen. So it was actually speaking to the children of Israel as they were going into the promised land. And he said to them, look, when you go into the promised land, do not serve their God. Do not do the things they do. You get me? Do not do the things they do. That's why he says in the book of 1 Corinthians 6, he says, come out from amongst them. Right? We're not to practice these things. Okay? Exodus tells us that God condemns paganism. Exodus 20. Jeremiah 7 tells us that God condemns witchcraft. Okay? So I've given you the second person. I gave you the first person as being the natural man who doesn't care about anything. He walks by instinct. And the second person is the one who links up with the spiritual realm. But who is the third person? The third person is a spiritual man or woman. And that word, spiritual, comes from a Greek word called pneumatikos, which is from the wind. You remember when I said to you about ruach, air and wind? The Greek also is pneuma, which is wind or air. Okay? And that's what we're reading in 1 Corinthians 2:15. Okay? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2:15 again. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, "But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is not judged of no man." Okay? And 3 verse 1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So what was Paul saying here? Paul was saying to the Corinthians church, he said, "Look, you are carnal. You are of the flesh. And because you are of the flesh, you cannot understand spiritual things. But he who is born of the Spirit," amen, "is of the Spirit." Amen. "And because you and I are born again, we're spirit-filled, we're God-conscious, our spirituality is linked to God, directed by the Holy Spirit." Amen. Hallelujah. "And so our spirit now bears witness with the Spirit of God that we are His children." So when we are flowing in the spiritual realm, it is not so that we can please ourselves. It's not so that we can control people. It's so that we can bring glory to God. It's so that we can walk in obedience to God. Amen. So this third person is actually the person who believes in Jesus Christ, who's accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Okay, and like I said to you, the word spirituality is derived from, for a Christian, is derived from the Hebrew word ruach, which is breath, wind, and which is life-giving. Amen. And as I look at this, and I just sense that what God, or where God is taking us to, let me just tell you what was funny today. As I began to do this today, and I said to Falaka, "Just pray for me." The computer decided to pack off. It wouldn't allow me to type. So I decided to write everything by hand. But what I want to bring out here for you, which we're going to do next week, is that there is a level of spirituality where God wants to take us to. Okay? You see, those who practice the occult, who are in the occult, guess what? Are so disciplined in the way they approach this occultic thing. They are so dedicated. They spend time to train themselves to the level where they are at. And that's what God wants to do with us. Amen. In rounding up, I just want to tell you something about a Christian guy who went to one of the countries, I think Mozambique or somewhere. And He's been preaching, and all of a sudden, this witch doctor who's been in charge of the whole village said, "Look, I'm challenging you to a battle today. If your God wins, then everybody in this village will become a Christian. And if I win, okay, everybody will serve my God." And this witch doctor said, "We'll go out 3 days' time and have this competition." And he announced this to the whole village. And this man of God went back to his room and said, "God, what am I going to do?" And he stood there, prayed and prayed, and did not get anything from God. And so that they came and they went out. And this witch doctor laid on the floor and then began to rise. He began to rise. He elevated himself so high. And this man of God just stood and said, "How am I going to beat that?" And then the Lord said to him, "Cast down that demon from him." And he just went, "I command you, you false demon, out in the name of Jesus." And the man fell, boom, on the floor and ran off. Why have I used that? Why have I used that? There are different levels of spirituality. But if we are in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So it doesn't really matter how much the spiritual world, the false spiritual world, tried to contest with God. If you are spiritually sound, Always spending time with God. Guess what? He will give you the right, strategy, the right word at the right time. If we are constantly filled with the Spirit. Amen. We fight a spiritual battle on a daily basis. You do not know the battle you fight even to go out to work. You do not know the battle you fight even to keep your job. Because you do not even know the people you're working with. I've worked with someone before who said to me, she communes with the dead. Okay? And here I was, I used to witness to her. And she said to me one day, you can never get through to me because I commune with the dead. And then she said to me, you speak too much about Jesus, and I'm going to see that you don't get promoted. It was a battle. Praise the Lord. But those who know their God shall do exploit. Do you know why I've said this to you? It's just to whet your appetite about the fact that we are spiritual beings, and because we're in Christ Jesus, we can do all things. And so we need to begin to learn to build our spiritual walk with God to a level where we have never been to before. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.